Finishing the book of Deuteronomy. We won't finish it this Wednesday because it's Thanksgiving Eve, so we'll be emphasizing Thanksgiving more. But the next Wednesday, we should wrap up the book of Deuteronomy. And then when the new year starts, we're going to jump into Joshua and start moving through the exciting times of finally, after all these times, after these years in the wilderness, now we're moving into the promised land. And so look forward to that. Deuteronomy chapter 30, again, it's coming to the end of the book. It's coming to the end of this series of messages that Moses is giving to the children of Israel in preparing them. And this is one of those passages that sometimes when I get in a discussion with people, and there are always people who are looking for arguments when they know you're a Christian. And this is one of those passages I sometimes bring up to throw a curveball to people when they want to argue about abortion. Because I always point out to people, you know, did you know that, well, for one thing, I'm also pro-choice. And if I see someone with a sticker or something, you know, I'm pro-choice too. Oh, good. And do you know that God's pro-choice as well? And they're going, what? And I'll share with them this passage where God says, you have a choice. I'm laying it out there for you. I say, but I have to show you, he's also pro-life because he says ultimately there in verse 19, choose life. I'll also take him to Joshua chapter 24 where he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Because see, the fact is, God is pro-choice. No one is more behind giving people an option than God is. It's been that way from the beginning. When God created Adam and Eve, when he first made man, he placed them within the garden. But when he created them, it says that he created them in the image of God. It says, let us, God, as the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit were talking together, let us make man in our image and likeness. And then he created them. And a big part of that image is self-determination, is the ability to make choices. It's what makes us human. The planet would be so different if we weren't created with a choice. Now, we have lots of choices. It's a part of who we are. Sometimes we look at what we do with our choices and wonder whether it was such a good idea. In fact, people are constantly philosophically questioning God's wisdom in creating people with a choice. Because we know the result of the fact that we have choices means also that we have the ability to make very bad choices. And so we often look at what man's done with our choices and we think maybe the world would be better off if we didn't have a choice. But in fact, when God created us, a part of what it is to be in his image is to be people who can determine their own destiny. People who can make choices that have very real consequences from real choices. If we weren't created with a choice, we'd just be robots. Now, sometimes when I make bad choices, I just think, God, why did you even give me a choice? Why didn't you just make me the kind of person who would automatically do everything right? But see, God knew that if I didn't have a choice, it would never be possible for me to know him, have a relationship with him, love him, or as far as that goes, to have a relationship with anyone else or to love anyone else as well. Because, well, it's like every once in a while you find somebody who's worked really hard to train their dog to praise the Lord. And you've probably seen it. It's fun to see, you know. Somebody goes, oh, watch this. And they sit their dog there and they go, okay, Peppy, praise the Lord. And his little paws go up. Peppy's not praising the Lord. Peppy's trying to get a dog treat. And that would be what we would be like if God didn't give us a real choice. It would be, okay, praise the Lord. Praise you. Now what do we get? But see, God wanted something much deeper than that. And so he created an actual choice. And it's central to who we are and to understanding life. Now, there are some people who have decided that that's undesirable. And so as a result, they've built up a theology that says that everything is determined. Some people, there are different variations of this theology. Some people just think it's just all spelled out and all we are is going through the motions. We're just puppets. Other people who would say that, you know, God makes everything happen exactly the way it does. That's his choice. And the fact that he has a choice means we don't. Often they'll quote in John chapter 16 where it says, Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." And they go, and really, when you think about that, you go, really? God chose me. I didn't choose him. I thought I chose him. What does that mean? That verse seems to say, no, you don't have a choice. But in fact, you do. All throughout the Bible, it's spelled out again and again and again. You have a choice that you have to make, and your consequences are going to be determined by your choice. Well, without going into a long theological lecture on divine election, certainly whatever John 16 means when Jesus said that, he's not talking about people who are saved get chosen. They don't get to choose. If you look at the whole Gospel of John and see what he talks about choice, because that is in the Gospel of John, you back up 10 chapters, you see Jesus saying that he chose the 12 disciples, even though one of them is a devil. So he chose Judas. Was Judas saved? I doubt it. But he chose them as his disciples. A few chapters later, in chapter 13, specifically talking about Judas, Jesus says, I chose him. I knew what I was doing when I chose him, because I knew what he was going to do. I knew that he would sell me out. And he's the one who, when I dip into the dish, he'll be dipping in with me. So certainly the Gospel of John isn't teaching you that you don't have any choice in life. You just, whatever happens, happens. Just a fatalistic sort of, or an exaggerated sort of God is the great puppet master, just making everyone do what they do. If that was the case, then you have a hard time explaining why the world is so messed up. If this is the way exactly God wanted it also, of course. But no, the fact is, God always lays out for people a legitimate choice, a real choice that he wants to give. And here in chapter 30, beginning with verse 11, let's just read through this passage. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away, so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. God making it clear to the children of Israel. Here Moses at the end of his ministry stating again, you have a choice that you need to make. There's a line that's being drawn in the sand. And on the one hand is blessing and life. On the other hand, it's cursing and death. And he says, you have a choice. Again, Joshua says the same thing in the last chapter of Joshua. Choose you this day whom you will serve. He says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. But it's this opportunity that's laid out, and it defines our very existence. That we are created as self-determined beings with a choice that we have to make. And what happens to us and the results that we get out of life and what we put into this world, it hangs on the choices that we make. It hangs on which way we go. Again, that freedom of choice, it's scary, but it's glorious. Because on the one hand, it gives us the opportunity to freely choose the God who loves us. It gives us the chance to reach out to people and to do good for them and know that it comes from our heart. On the other hand, it's dangerous. Because we have the chance to destroy an awful lot of what's valuable to God. We have the chance to ultimately destroy our lives. One of my professors years ago said the hardest thing for a Christian parent to do is when ultimately as your kids have grown up and you're letting go of them, he said, to give your kids the same freedom that God gives them, that is the freedom to reject Him, that's a scary thing to do. And certainly God, knowing, hey, it had to be, it's scary to give people like us choices. But at the same time, knowing that's the only way good would happen. That's the only way that blessing could ever be there, is to be able to freely choose to walk with the one who loves us, the one who gave himself for us. And so it all comes down to this. It's life and death. It's you choose. Make up your mind. And so God gives you an option. He won't force you. He won't coerce you. If anything, all he'll do is be so good to you that it's just hard to reject him. And yet still, ultimately, if you make that choice, he honors it. He values it. He values your right to choose over even his desire to bless you, because he won't force his blessing on you. That wouldn't be love at all. Not only is life all about choices, but we see here in this passage that the choice is pretty simple, really. It's not all that complicated. That's why here in verses 11, 12, 13, 14, he says it's not mysterious. It's not far off. It's not way up in heaven. It's not across the sea. We don't need somebody to come and spell it out for us. It's so close to you, you can taste it. It's in your mouth and in your heart. It's a very simple situation. And the choice, and all the choices that we make, really, when you look at them the way he's describing them here, it's not complicated. It's not brain surgery. We often act like, boy, following God or finding his will, that it's this big jigsaw puzzle with like a billion pieces, and you have to look and look and look and find all the pieces and put them together, and you hope someday it'll all start to make sense. But what he's saying here is, no, I am boiling down for you the essence of what all of this is all about. All of the law, all of the commandments, and even here's what it is to love me and to follow me. It's all about this simple, simple choices. So simple that it's easy for us to miss it. So simple that we have a tendency as humans to complicate the issue. I think of the way that we try to present the gospel sometimes. And there are so many people who feel that they aren't capable to witness, to share their faith, to reach out to others because, yeah, but what if they ask me about this philosophy? Or what if I find someone who's a member of that cult? And we think that somehow to share with people, to share Jesus, boy, we need to know a whole lot of stuff. Not at all. In fact, when Jesus was here and the word was spreading like wildfire about him, they didn't know much of anything. You had people sharing the Lord with people and saying, I don't know. All I know is I used to be blind, now I can see. That's it. That's all I know. Another guy, lame man who was walking, hey, who did this to you? Tell you the truth, I didn't even get his name. The guy just made me so I could walk. Never walked in my life. Now I can. How about that? And see, often we have made it so complicated that we no longer feel like it's enough to go to somebody and just say, you know, I was really messed up and God turned my life around. That's all I know. All I know is Jesus loves you. He gave his life for you. That's it. You get beyond that? I don't know. Because when we get beyond that, often all we do is get into philosophical arguments and we complicate something that's really quite simple. That's never designed to be complicated. It's never supposed to be sophisticated. It's not far away. It's not way up in heaven. It's not hard to comprehend. Oh, when we begin to explain God, that's very complicated. And that's why most people who devote their lives to theology end up really ultimately after reading tons and tons of books, they end up with saying, you know, I learned a whole lot of big words to explain what I don't know. I can now describe for you why I have no idea what I'm talking about. And that's what it comes down to, really. It's why ultimately so many people end up, they study theology so much, they end up wondering, going, I don't even know if there's a God or not. I'm an agnostic. The word agnostic just means I don't know. So how in depth do you have to get to find out what you don't know? And yet, the choice that God sets before us is to choose someone that we can know. Someone that we do know. I remember years ago at Calvary, there was a little teenage gal who went out witnessing, and she had been a Christian for a few weeks, and she came upon a guy who was a PhD and a college professor. And he started arguing with her and saying, I used to believe how you believe, but because of this passage and that contradiction and this and that. And she just said, all I know is Jesus loves you. And he's going, yeah, but what about this philosophy? And what about that term? And how, you know, and was trying to, and the little girl just began to cry. But she said, all I know is that Jesus loves you. Well, the next day, he showed up at the church at Calvary. And he said, I need to talk to somebody. And Pastor Chuck talked to him. And the guy said, look, there's a girl from your church that was trying to talk to me yesterday. And I gave her all kinds of great arguments. And all she could do was cry and say, Jesus loves me. But he said, after I went home and I realized all of my arguments leave me cold, but the heart of that girl touched me so much that if Jesus really loves me, can you explain it? What do I do? And the guy accepted the Lord. See, you might think, oh, there's this really intelligent person, so I'm going to bone up. And why do you really have to jump into the sewer with someone in order to help them out? Hey, much better to reach in and pull them up. And the choices that we have to deal with always, whether it's our major choices to whether we're going to walk with God or not, or all the other choices we make during the day, they're way simpler than we make them. They're way easier. They're way more basic. The important choices, they're all basic. It's very seldom that someone really doesn't know what God wants them to do. It's usually just, we're hoping for a loophole. We don't want to do what God wants us to do. But here, as the Lord spells it out for the children of Israel, he says, you guys have made it too complicated. Oh, I know the law, it's long, it's involved, but here's all it comes down to. And he goes, it's just, I want to have a relationship with you. It's simple, and it's all about a choice. Now, even though the choice is simple, all the choices that we make generally are, the catch to it, though, is that they're also critical. They are life and death. They are blessing and cursing. And so, though it doesn't take a genius to see the issues, yet, you and I, we all have the potential of doing a whole lot of damage with this gift of choice that we have. We have the potential to not only ruin our life, but we have the potential of ruining the lives around us. On the other hand, we also have the choice of bringing blessing into our own life and of being the messengers of blessing into someone else's life. And that's what it comes down to. It comes down to this is a life and death decision. And you will live with the decisions that you make. You'll have to, or you'll die with them. And as he lays out here, we already read it, we won't read it again. Hey, life and death hangs on what you do. Now, first of all, we all have one decision that we need to make in life, and that is, what are we going to do for eternity? What are we going to do with the story of Jesus dying for us? Are we going to believe in him? Are we going to allow God to take over our lives? Or are we going to run it ourselves? And that is a life and death decision that you'll live with for all of eternity. When you decide against Jesus Christ, then you're putting a curse on yourself. You're saying yourself, I don't want God's blessing. I don't want his life. Leave me alone. On the other hand, to receive him is to invite blessing into your life, is to take upon you that eternal life, that life that will last forever. It's to be able to be together with your brothers and sisters, to be with Jesus in heaven forever. It's a critical decision. It's an important decision. And so certainly that is the biggest choice that we all have to make. But throughout our lives, every day, probably every hour, we have lots and lots of other choices as well. And what do we do with those choices? It still determines, do we add more death to the world or do we bring more life into it? Do we offer more blessing or do we give out more cursing? The life of choosing, freely choosing to not walk with God is a life that says, give me death. I want to die. Oh, you don't have to consciously say that, but he spelled it out here. There are two paths that you can go by. And one of them is going to lead to life. The other one, you want to see what it looks like? You want to see what that death actually is? Well, turn on your TV this afternoon until you see a Carl's Jr. commercial with Hugh Hefner on it. And you see a guy who spent his whole life using this beautiful gift of choice that God has given him and deciding to choose death over and over again. And look at him. When you see those commercials, don't just, oh, Hugh Hefner. Look in his eyes. Look at his skin that's just stuck to it. He looks like a skeleton. He looks horrible. And the guy who's, well, in his life, he's never had a meaningful relationship at all. And now here he is as this old, pathetic picture of what's left of the Playboy philosophy with this Carl's hamburger running down his chin and going, well, I don't like the same thing every night. Oh, man. Look at that. That's death. Oh, maybe he looked really glamorous before. But here's what's left, a skeleton. Another picture that you can see that looks almost like Hefner in the Carl's Jr. commercials, Michael Jackson's booking photograph. Look at it. Look in his eyes. Look at the skin. It's like, it's the same thing. It's two guys who are going, I choose death. And they're getting it. It's happened to them. But understand this, it didn't have to be that way, and it still doesn't have to be that way. You know what God thinks when he sees that Carl's Jr. commercial? He thinks, man, Hefner, it's still not too late. Look at the death you've brought on yourself. Look at the death you've caused in others. Look at the curse that's been on. Well, you don't have to do that. You can turn around at any time. It's the same thing God sees when he looks in those vacant eyes of Michael Jackson. And he goes, man, you've chosen death, but I want to give you life. I love you. If there was no one else in the world but just Michael Jackson sitting there on his merry-go-round at Neverland Ranch, God would say, Michael, I love you so much that I will die so you can live. I'll choose death so you can choose life. But God has to give a real choice. That's what relationship is about. And so he looks on at these guys sadly and says, you know, I hope that somebody doesn't miss the message. I hope that someone can look at the irony of people who put life as their main thing they wanted to do. Man, that's the life. Look at that mansion. That's the life. And I hope people will see the death that they're living with now. And I still hold out hope. If it's on their dying breath for both of those guys and everybody else who's killing themselves, I feel like, you know, God still is saying there's still a chance. You know, I can breathe life into that little corpse. I can put life into those dead eyes. I can make a difference, God says. And that's his heart, and that's what he wants. Because every day, not only do we decide, am I going to walk with God or am I going to walk towards hell? But not only that, we have a choice of how we're going to see everyone else around us. And when we see somebody who looks like death warmed over, when we see somebody who's paid the price for the life that they've lived, the choices that they've made, do we see them through his eyes? Or do we just say, yeah, they got what they deserve. Hey, I'm glad I'm not getting what I deserve. Because what I deserve is hell. Just as much as for anybody else. But it's God in his grace as he reaches out to us and he says, there's a choice that you can make. You can choose life, blessing, death, cursing. And it's not only that eternal choice we make for salvation, but more than that, every day of my life I'm choosing and choosing and choosing and choosing. Because in every encounter I have, in every decision I make, I can either be a force for life or I can just kill somebody just a little bit. I can do something that enriches my own life or I can choose to do something that is destroying my own life. And those of the people around me. And so, just think of how simple, really, our decisions would be if in our lives we would constantly remind ourselves, okay, God, what do you want me to do? I have some choices here. Now, of the choices that I have to make, which of these choices might bring more life? Which of these choices might bring healing? Which of these choices would involve blessing? And on the other hand, what are the things that I'm thinking about doing that really, when it comes right down to it, it just might kill somebody a little bit? When it comes right down to it, it might not be cursing somebody saying, oh, you go to hell. But it might in another way be wounding another person and causing them to feel more cursing than blessing. And what if we just made our decisions based on that? It would simplify our lives so much. There are so many times when people are coming and just wrestling and struggling over various decisions in their lives. And if I sometimes just think, you know, if you just think about it, okay, let's say you have two choices, two alternatives, and you're trying to figure out what you're going to do. Is one of them more involving life and blessing and the other one getting a little closer to death and cursing? Then there you go. What do you want to bring about in your life? What do you want to have in your own life? Are you going to choose life or choose death? And you go, oh, that's an easy one. You know, it's not easy. I said it was simple. It's very simple. But it's profoundly difficult as well. It's not easy to do the right thing. It's simple to know what it is, like he says here. But at the same time, sometimes it's really difficult. It's not just easy to do it at all. But that is the choice that it comes down to. And every person that you have contact with in this building before you leave this morning, and every person that you encounter throughout this day and this week, if you think about it, you have a chance to bless them. If you think about it, you have a chance to curse them, and sometimes you don't have to say anything to curse them. In fact, if you just walk right by them and ignore them, and you make them feel like nobody even knows I exist, I must be cursed, then you've cursed them without even trying. And yet, our Lord would tell us, I put you here. I left you here. What I want to do is to make it so simple to people to understand that it's all about just simple blessing, cursing, life, death. That's it. That's what it is. And if we were making those decisions more in our lives every day, you know, the gospel, people would be banging on our door to find out about it. If really when people who don't know the Lord, when they looked at Christians and they go, man, those are people who are always blessing me. They're always wanting to do stuff for you. They're always loving you. They're always willing to make sacrifices for you. If that's what their impression is of Christianity, oh, the job of evangelism would be, well, it'd happen automatically. But what confuses people is they see so many mixed messages. They see someone who will say, God bless you. But they'll tell by that look in your eye. They'll hear by that critical comment that you make. They'll understand by how you judge them or others that really when it comes right down to it, you want to say blessing and cursing coming out of the same spigot. And the Bible says it's not supposed to be that way. We're to be messengers of blessing and life. That's our job. That's what we have to do. And that's the calling that God's always had for his people. The result of it is incredible. Because as we bless others, we end up being blessed. As we give life to others, just like those of you who have had a child know this. When you see that life come into the world, you feel more alive than you've ever felt before. And so, that's why Jesus, hanging on the cross, going through that agony, for the joy that was set before him, he endured it. Because it says he would see his seed. He would see that as he gives life, that would give him life as well. Because they would become his body. They would become a part of him. And so, for us, for all of us, we have that choice to not only make decisions and choices that offer life and blessing to others, but that's how we ourselves will find that we receive life and blessing and health. Over in Luke chapter 10, and you can turn over there in closing. We have the story that you're familiar with at the end of the chapter. Jesus came to Bethany, and it says, "Now as it happened as they went that he entered a certain village," verse 38, "and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.'" This is a busy time of year. We all have a lot that we need to do. A lot of stuff has to be done. Decisions to be made. Choices to be taken. But the most important choice of all is the choice to put yourself at the feet of Jesus. To listen to him. To worship him. To spend time with him. And if we allow all of the other choices to crowd out that one most important choice, that one most important decision, then we lose out, those around us lose out, and there's going to be something inside of you that just starts to die. When you haven't spent time worshiping God, when you haven't really been in fellowship with him, you can be really busy, you can be in the middle of a huge crowd of people, it can be, "Oh, I got stuff to do, I'm moving on," and all of a sudden, something inside you feels like, "What's wrong? Something's missing. I feel like this is killing me." Yeah, it is. It is. If we neglect the most important choice, the choice to be with him, to worship him, to sit at his feet, then we're going to find out that we're killing ourselves, knocking ourselves out to do stuff rather than sitting at his feet and receiving that life from him so that we can then pass it on to others. This year with the holidays, oh, we're going to be busy and there are things that you need to do, I know that. But choose the part of Mary first. You can go help in the kitchen later. Make sure that you've gone to the one who says, "I am life. I came that you might have life and that more abundantly," he says. Receive that life from him. And you'll find that it's much easier in your daily choices to say, "This person said this. Now, I can say something very blessing. I can say something that's kind of cursing. I can say something that's going to infuse life into this person. I can just give them a little shot of death." Those decisions will be easier if we're sitting at the feet of the Lord. Because his life, his love, it's contagious. In fact, that's the only way you get it. Pastor can't talk you into it. You can't just decide on your own, that's what it is. It's as you worship him and sit at his feet that he will fill you. And then you'll have the capacity, the ability, the simplicity, and really that's what it is. It's really eliminating all the distractions so that then you're able to make choices that are, well, they're life-giving choices. They're choices of blessing. And that's what God wants for all of us. Why? Because he's trying to get his job done? No. Because he loves us, he wants us to be blessed. And he knows that as we bless, we'll be blessed. As we give life, we'll receive life. It just works that way. Choice. It's the greatest gift. It's the greatest curse. that mankind has. With that choice, we have the potential to destroy ourselves and each other. But with that choice, we have the potential to know God, to love Him, to relate to each other in a way that's profound, life-changing, life-giving, life-affirming, blessing. Make the right choices. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for giving life to us and for blessing us as You have. Help us to make those choices that will pass that blessing and that life on to others that we encounter, to those of our friends and our family and strangers we come across. Lord, help us to choose life daily, to choose life constantly, to choose life incessantly, to know, to decide, this is the way we want to go. Lord, keep our lives simple, so that we recognize and understand what it is we're dealing with. And Lord, we thank You for coming to us first. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.